Welcome to Infotech Research Group's monthly threat landscape briefing. We use these briefings to cover current topics related to cybersecurity, such as threat actor campaigns, regulatory compliance and legal issues, and exploitation methods and tactics being used by today's cybercriminals.
For this month's briefing, we start with research analyst Logan Brody on Tesla's brush with ransomware. Then we hear from research specialist Isaac Kinsella about how a contact tracing application was used to track movements in India. Finally, we hear from senior research analyst Cassandra Cooper about international hackers targeting the 2020 elections. Without further ado, let's begin.
At the end of August, Tesla came very close to a ransomware incident. However, in this story, we're not dealing with the garden variety ransomware attacks that have speckled the news over the last several years. No, this was nothing of the opportunistic phishing campaigns or missing security controls. Rather, this was to be a targeted hit using customized ransomware and an insider with detailed knowledge of Tesla's networks and how best to penetrate them. Luckily for Tesla, things didn't work out for the Russian crime gang behind the pending attack. Their plan was relatively simple. Use a mutual acquaintance to get in touch with a current Russian-speaking Tesla employee and offer said employee $1 million to help develop custom malware and install it on Tesla's network for 6 to 8 hours so that data could be exfiltrated while a concurrent DDoS attack acted as a diversion. Once in possession of the data, the crime gang was planning to hold it ransom in order to extort $4 million from Tesla. However, the unidentified Tesla employee had scruples, immediately reported the Russian national's request, and subsequently worked with the FBI as a confidential human source, recording a series of conversations with the Russian national about the quote-unquote special project. Eventually, the FBI contacted the Russian man, who later attempted to flee the United States but was arrested at the Los Angeles airport. Things easily could have gone wrong for Tesla in this scenario, which underscores the dangers posed by insider threats. All the security in the world wouldn't have helped if the employee in this story had complied with the Russian gang's request. We all know that organizations can no longer rely on the so-called hard digital wall to protect their assets, and that people will continue to be the biggest vulnerability, even in the best security programs. Yet this story casts light on another side of the issue. It's important to train our staff to recognize security threats, yes. But we also need to make sure the overall company culture, of which security is a part, is supportive enough so that people are not tempted by lucrative, if illegal, offers of making a quick $1 million. Take care of your people, and they will take care of you. Be sure to take some time to review Infotech's insider threat research to ensure that you're in the best possible position to defend against cases like these.
Contact tracing applications being used to track movements in India. Kerala, India had once set the precedent for contact tracing. Since then, they've actually fallen under some severe scrutiny for their current policies. The police in Kerala decided to collect the call detail records, or CDR, of COVID-positive citizens to draw maps of their movements. The police justify the collection of the citizens' CDRs to combat the pandemic, even going so far as to say that the police have been collecting this data for months on end already. The police assured citizens that the data would not be used for anything else, stating, "Law enforcement agencies can collect such details. This is the best means of contact tracing," end quote. The CDR is supposedly the best way to draw routes of COVID-positive individuals. However, there are no provisions that allow the police to check call records of individuals for medical surveillance. In this case, unless it's a matter of national security or a criminal investigation, the CDRs of citizens are not allowed to be retrieved. What's our take on this? Stick to healthcare best practices, ditch the technology. Not every problem needs a technical solution. This exact case has been the reason for my skepticism surrounding these contact tracing applications. The potential for abuse and creeping expansions of what these applications are being used for is just too tempting for a government not to enact. While Kerala police may just be taking the CDRs of COVID-positive patients now, it's not that far of a stretch to imagine that this technology could be used on non-positive patients too. Knowing the exact movements of people, maps of their daily routines, and even their activities is not only disturbing, but it's definitely creeping towards an Orwellian reality. Furthermore, it begs the question as to why are the police handling the contact tracing and not healthcare officials? There's definitely an intent here, and I think it has very little to do with careless citizens. CDRs in India are only supposed to be used in cases of national security or criminal cases. Traditionally, CDRs can't be retrieved by the police without the consent of a person, but police are now using the pandemic as a national security issue to justify that there's implied consent from the individual. only explicitly stating to the police that you do not consent will prevent the tracking. So either COVID-positive citizens in Kerala, India are now deemed as criminals, or this is a gross exploit of a legal clause to legally track citizens. As I've said before, if you're already following the best safety and healthcare practices, why risk the loss of your data? If anything, contract tracing applications have proven to be a greater security risk for privacy and data, and often give a false sense of security to their users by allowing them to think they're safe while still potentially spreading COVID. Not every solution needs a technical one. If anything, technical fascination can lead to often progressively worse side effects than if we had just done nothing at all. Stick to healthcare best practices, wear a mask, wash your hands, and social distance. These alone will achieve the same results without the privacy risks.
It wouldn't be a U.S. presidential election without an attempted campaign compromise or manipulation effort, would it? Around the middle of September, Microsoft's Threat Intelligence Center reported a series of attacks conducted tracing all the way back to September of 2019. The culprit? Russian activity group Strontium, better known amongst the cybersecurity community as Fancy Bear or APT28. Their current target? Staff at a Washington campaign strategy firm, the firm that was actually responsible for developing the Democratic Party's campaign. The group's full spectrum of targets, however, is not isolated to this year's U.S. presidential candidates. The same Russian military hacker group was to blame for attempted attacks against the Democratic Party during the previous U.S. presidential election. And since last fall, the group has targeted over 200 organizations around the world, including American think tanks, national and state party organizations within the United States, as well as the European People's Party and political parties in the United Kingdom. The group has advanced its initial tactics, which were characterized by spear phishing, which targets high-profile or privileged user accounts credentials in the attempt to gain or access sensitive or high-risk information, and have now taken a more widespread and far-reaching approach using brute force and password spraying techniques in order to gain unauthorized account access, a prime example of the evolution of malicious attackers and threat vectors. And while this latest attempt garnered significant media coverage and attention, it's one of many whose target has been the upcoming presidential election. Iranian group known to Microsoft as Phosphorus, or to the cyber community as APT35 or Charming Kitten, targeted the Republican campaign with multiple unsuccessful login attempts between May and June of 2020. In addition to this, Chinese group Zirconium, or APT31, have enacted thousands of politically fueled attacks between March and September of 2020. All of this is further supported by the fact that only 53% of Americans believe the country is prepared for a major cyber attack. Not overly comforting during these challenging times. Targeted cyber espionage attacks like these ones are nothing new in the political sphere. Tech firms can predict with near certainty the fact that large-scale elections or political events will draw the attention of malicious actors. The propensity to cause mass disruption to the democratic process in already turbulent times only serves as a reinforcement of the importance of a proactive cybersecurity program and a dynamic approach to threat intelligence. The cyber threat intelligence landscape is constantly evolving and is one that organizations, regardless of industry and size, need to take control of. Consider the role of threat modeling and threat intelligence as key components of the cybersecurity program and information security strategy. And while you may not see your organization as a prime target for hackers, your environment may be a desirable entry point for future larger scale attacks. Effective CTI programs involve strong analysis and an actionable set of mitigation techniques that involve skilled people, efficient processes, and the support of tools in the form of software solutions. SANS's threat intelligence cycle provides an overview of the five stages of threat intelligence, starting with planning and requirements gathering, collection, processing, analysis, and finally dissemination. And while new malicious attackers and threats are on the rise, organizations can take a proactive approach, assessing common threats and attacks, and putting into place the appropriate controls to effectively minimize threat risk moving forward.
This concludes this month's briefing. If you have any questions about what you've heard, want to learn more, or need any support, please do not hesitate to contact us and set up an analyst call. Thank you, and see you next month.